And we're back. That's one of the phrases that the programmers at EAA Radio don't like us hosts to use because it's what they call a crutch. But this time they said I could say that because we are definitely back and glad to be here. EAA AirVenture Oshkosh 2021. And joining me right now, EAA's president, Jack Pelton. Jack, it's been a while.
Steve, it's been way too long. Boy, it's I miss Mondays with you in July.
That's right.
But long overdue, and I'll tell you, the excitement just watching this come together this year. You know, we can keep saying long overdue and the wait is over, but I think the most important thing is that everybody came together and found a way. I mean, we were even in January wondering, is this just going to be a small fly-in with no exhibitors, and you know, what were we going to be allowed to do? And as this thing has progressed, we've found a way, and the team did a great job of making it just like it was in 2019.
That's right. Now, between the closing of 2019 and opening day today, the entire world has gone through a transformation, and EAA did as well last year. So there was no there was no in-person event, but the Spirit of Aviation Week came off, and really a great production by the EAA staff to pull that together in just a couple of months. And then the viewership, the streams online and everything, you could tell that there was an appetite for what we're selling here at EAA, and that, of course, is people in airplanes.
There was, and we were very careful to not want to do a virtual AirVenture, because as we all know, this is a sensorial activity as far as planes and people and the things that you see. So we wanted to just talk more about our mission and the history and education and those pieces in that event, and not fool ourselves that you can do what this event is about and stay at home. It's impossible.
Was there a point in the planning early in 2021 where you just had to make the go, no-go decision?
Similar to 2020, May, the first week of May was kind of our deadline, go, no-go date. And that's when you really start committing a lot of money to the tents and to a lot of the other things, printing the tickets and wristbands and all that. So we had the same date for 2021, but we knew in advance of that we were going to go. We probably almost 2 months before that said, we're finding a way to do this, unless somebody lays in front of us, and then God help them if they do.
Very good. Let's put all that behind us. Let's talk about this year. I'm noticing a distinct lack of aircraft landing on runway 36 at the moment. What is the parking situation like for aircraft?
Well, the parking is still open, but it's funny because we just saw four Mustangs land, which I'm sorry, but that was breathtaking. So I wanted to make sure I had the numbers for you. So I've got, as of Sunday night in 2019, we had landed 3,500 aircraft. Today, when we started this morning, we had already landed 7,900 airplanes through Sunday. So those kind of numbers, you know, take you right up to where we probably were on Tuesday of AirVenture in 2019. So the turnout and how early people came, we all talked about it. Friday felt like the normal weekend, and by Saturday, it's like the event has started. It's you can look as far south as you can look, and the whole north, and we are really, really busy.
Well, my wife and I were out here just kind of doing a site survey on Thursday night, and we were amazed at how many campers were already in Camp Scholler. They were already out to Highway 41, which is as far west as you can go. I could see there were additional camping areas to the south. How are campers doing in Camp Scholler?
Camping is about on par with where it was in 2019, which, again, the reference to 2019 is that's our record year. That was the most attendees, the most airplanes, the most campers. So this is clearly shaping up to be a similar experience as 2019.
What are some of the things you're looking forward to seeing or doing this week?
Well, I get the question a lot about, especially you get the lineup of what's happening and what airplanes you want to see and what part of the air show or the forums and the workshops and all that. And quite honestly, I'm just glad to see everybody back. It's just so fun to finally see those, I call them the 1 week a year relationships that we have that are so important to us because they're in our passion area. And to finally have that back, you just want to embrace everybody and say, it's so good to have you back, so good to see you. After you get through that part of it, though, looking around the grounds, there are so many incredible airplanes that people have spent the downtime restoring, building, you know, in the home-built area, the number of airplanes that people cranked out during the period is just incredible, and it's so good to see them all here.
What are some of the things that EIA is working on outside of what happens during this week?
During the last 2 years, we didn't slow down. So I'm very, very proud of our team. In our relationship with our members, we never unplugged. We never missed a beat on publications. We doubled down on webinars and online educational stuff and stayed in front of our members. And then we did something special, which is there was a project that I thought was very important for the legacy of EA, and that was to take two of the features at AirVenture that are enormously popular. KidVenture, which I think is just a gem, and I think so many people don't even know about it, but we run about 5,000 kids during AirVenture through it, and it's hands-on learning where they're building ribs and their propellers, they're learning about electrical systems. It accommodates kids of all ages, and it's kind of an accomplished-based system. And at the end, if you go through all the hands-on learning stations, you get a toolbox. And kids just absolutely love that. So how do we do that year-round? And then also the Pilot Proficiency Center, which is on our four corners, which is outfitted with about 12 Redbird simulators and CFIs. So we started an ambitious project to raise money to build an addition to the museum to be able to do that. And we got it done. The shovels went in the ground in May. The 30,000 square foot two-story building is being built. You can see it over at the museum on the west side. It's connected to the museum. What we will have on the second floor, basically a STEM learning experience like KidVenture, and then a year-round Pilot Proficiency Center on the first floor.
Excellent. And also, government advocacy work is still going strong as always?
You know, it was kind of enjoyable. Some of the big battles are behind us. You know, we also hear about reauthorization bills and privatization of towers, and it's kind of like none of that stuff was going on until just recently. And then we get this bombshell from the FAA that's really challenging the flight training in experimental home-built aircraft, primary category aircraft, and exhibition category aircraft. And that just dropped the other day to where they're requiring owners and CFIs to get a LOTA, which is really a deviation, to be able to conduct that operation. We're going at it with both barrels. We've had a lot of personal calls with the FAA administrator himself. They have put a patchwork fix in place where you can go online and get one of those exemptions very quickly. But that's flawed. For 60 years, we never have had to have that, and we've got to get it removed. So we're going to battle. EA joining in with AOPA and GAMA and NBAA. We've got two bills that have been prepared. They have numbers, one in the House, one in the Senate. They've already dropped. To get this relief permanent the way it used to be. And you'll hear a lot more about it during the week, and we'll start the battle to get the membership calls out there to go fight this and get it done. We have a lot of sponsors on both sides of the aisle, so we're feeling we can get this done. But it's like we were doing really well without any major crisis, and this is a serious one because it has a lot of unintended consequences and implications that we don't know where it's going, because they've identified just those groups of airplanes, but what about standard category and everything else? And experimental home built alone, you've got 40,000 airplanes that are affected from people getting their biennials or proficiency training. We encourage two pilots during the first 40 hours of testing, and they will have to get this document to be able to do that. And it's just unnecessary burdens from bureaucracy, and never had it in the past. It was due to a bad legal interpretation by the FAA, and we're not going to put up with any of that. Yeah, so whatever words I can't say on the announcer stand. You haven't given me the full list, but we're tired of that. It's like, go get this thing crushed.
Is there anything that we as members can do now, or do we have to let the process go?
This is so new. I mean, literally the bills just got activated on Friday. So we're putting together information during the week and how we're going to engage the members to go help us support those two bills so that we've got good numbers going into the bill process.
All right. Just about a minute or so left. Any opening day thoughts that you'd like to share with us?
I always want to share, for this particular venture, people have asked, okay, you haven't had one in a while. What do you worry about? What's keeping you up? And I keep reminding everybody that it's not the EA staff that assures this is going to happen perfection. It's the volunteers. And as long as the volunteers came back, I said, we're going to be in great shape. And they did. We still have over 5,000 plus volunteers. They own this thing. And we got to just give them what they need and get out of their way. And that's how this all happens every year. So thank the volunteers, be patient with them, and thank them every chance you get.
All right. EAA's President Jack Pelton opening up our show today, our first of week-long From the Stands. And Jack, appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us. And we'll talk again toward the end of the week as we wrap things up.
Thanks, Steve. Great to see you again. It's been a long 24 months not being together.
That's right. This is EAA Radio.